One of the dilemmas that I think all of us have faced at one point in our life, perhaps we had heard the gospel and understood it for the first time, and we're weighing with the choices of whether to follow God or not, or maybe we grew up with the gospel, we went off to university or college, and we're tempted to, you know, am I going to live out my faith? Am I seriously going to walk with Jesus? And the question that we've all probably wrestled with at some point is, if I walk with Jesus, does that mean I have to give up fun in my life? We've probably all wrestled with that. You know, if I give my life to Jesus, you know, is my life going to be boring? Is it going to be dull because I can no longer do all the fun stuff I thought I wanted to do? Of course, most of us have realized, because we've been down that path, that it wasn't as fun as we imagined, and a lot of times it ended up being destructive, actually. But it is a question worth asking, right? If we give our lives to Jesus, if we seek to walk with God faithfully, will we enjoy life? Will we enjoy life? And of course, the answer to that question, I believe, from the Word of God, is yes. But as we look at the Ten Commandments, I mean, you're in the wrong place, right? The Ten Commandments, that's all that don't do this, don't do that, right? Look grim and glum when you're walking with God. Some people, I think, have swallowed that pill, but hopefully not you. But that's not what the Ten Commandments, not what God's desire was. And so we're going to actually start working our way backwards in the chapter by looking at the reasons at the end of the chapter why God gave his laws, so that when we come to the laws toward the end of the message, which we'll just briefly touch on, you'll understand them better, why we have them and how they should change the way we live. So Moses, he's wrapping this up, right? He's explaining to the people of God how following these laws are going to help them enjoy life. Look at verse 28 again. The Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard what this people said to me, to you. Everything they said was good. Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always. So that, see, these are the things you underline in your Bible, right? The so that's, therefores, okay? Purpose clauses. So that it might go well with them and their children forever. Go tell them to return to their tents, but you stay here with me so that I may give you all the commands, decrees and laws that you are to teach them to follow in the land I'm giving them to possess. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that, again, you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. That sounds like enjoy life language, doesn't it? So that, this is the reason why God gave his laws. So when God gave the laws to Israel, which includes the Ten Commandments, he showed that his desire was for them to find and enjoy life. God's design for us is to enjoy life. And we already saw that in the Garden of Eden a few weeks ago, right from the start. Adam and Eve, God enjoyed this relationship with Adam and Eve. He walked in the garden each day. And then one day, and Adam and Eve walked with God. They enjoyed their time until Adam and Eve sinned. And then God comes walking in the garden still. God still comes looking for them. Adam and Eve aren't there. They're hiding. They've sinned. God's still there. Does God condemn them? No, he does not. He doesn't let them off, but he doesn't condemn them either. He meets with them. There are consequences, of course, when we disobey God. What's the biggest consequence when we disobey God? Life is less enjoyable. That's simple. Life is less enjoyable when we suffer the consequences of our sin, when we disobey God. So we see here that we will enjoy life as God intends for us to enjoy when we take God's word to our hearts. So Moses is sharing these laws. They're at Mount Sinai. They're recalling Mount Sinai here. And at that time, the people said, verse 27, we will listen and obey, right? Great intentions. And then God says, the next verse, oh, I wish that were true. Oh, right? Oh, he says that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and keep all my commands always. I mean, that's what God desires for us. I mean, Jesus, we're told, prays for us in Hebrews 7:25. If Jesus prays for us, how does he pray for us? Well, maybe he prays verse 29. Oh, that our hearts, right? Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear God and keep his commands always. I think they're praying for us. Jesus is praying for us that we would have an obedient heart that lives out the words of God, that loves the words of God, and doesn't just pay lip service as Jesus, you know, blasted the religious leaders of his day when he said to them in Matthew 15:7 to the Pharisees, he says, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy you about you by saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And when David confesses sin to Bathsheba in Psalm 51, verse 16, he said to God in his prayer, he says, you do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. I mean, David was called a man after God's own heart. Is that because David never sinned? No, obviously not. But when he sinned and when he was confronted with his sin, he did what? He was broken about his sin and he repented. He went to God and asked forgiveness. So God's desire for all his people, obviously, is to have obedient hearts. And for Israel, when they obeyed, they would have great blessings in the land. They would enjoy the land God would give them. Later on in Deuteronomy 28:29, God's going to actually give them a list of things. He says, if you walk with me and listen to me and follow my laws, this is how I'm going to bless you. And he lists a bunch of things. And then he says, and if you don't follow me and don't listen to my laws, and he gives a long list of things that are unpleasant. Not because he's punishing them, but because they're consequences of disobedience and not following God's laws. They will enjoy life less. And in particular, most of that all has to do with God meeting their needs. If you obey me, things will go better in the land. The land will flourish. The land will be provided. I will provide you with rain and sunshine and all those things so that you will get what you need. But if they disobeyed God, then it would make working the land much less enjoyable and produce less, meaning less things to enjoy in life. Their families would suffer and everyone would be hurting because their needs weren't being met by God based on their disobedience. So then we need to take the word of God to heart. We need to believe it in order to obey God. What else would help them stay on track with God? Well, verses 30 to 31, God had Moses and other committed leaders who were there to help the people of God continue to point them to his word. God told Moses in verse 30, he says, go tell them to return to their tents, but you stay here with me so that I may give you all the commands, decrees, and laws that you are to teach them to follow in the land I'm giving them to possess. So Moses' job to make sure he listens to God regularly so that he's communicating the truths that the people need to hear from God. Later on, who took over from Moses? What was his name? Joshua, right? Joshua, how did Joshua do in this regard? Pretty good, right? Joshua did pretty good. But after Joshua, things went downhill. We read in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 8, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heras in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the land nor what he had done for Israel. That's incredible. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served all these false gods. Like, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Why? Well, why do you think? Because people forgot to tell them. People got careless. People grew apathetic toward God. Maybe they assumed everyone knew who they were and how they got there and how God was going to meet their needs if they follow him. But basically, they didn't pass the truths along to the next generation. And that's where we need to come in. That's where we need to not fail. That's where we need, as parents and grandparents, right, pass along the truths to our kids and our grandkids so that they know who God is, why they're here, what Jesus did for them, so that they can tell their peers and our culture the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we need to constantly be in the Word of God. Obviously, we need to read about the Word of God. We need to listen to godly leaders. We need to obviously be here and be part of these things, but on your own as well, even more so, right? Listening to good, I call dead authors and live authors, right? We read people who've passed on, who've left behind good stuff to read, and we read and listen to good tools today that are out there, you know, people who are going to help us walk with God on a regular basis. Because, right, we still have a sin nature, and we're always going to face temptations, and there's always going to be challenges on, for us, are we going to walk in the truth of the Word of God? Verse 32, so be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in a land that you will possess. So we need to keep listening to and obeying the Word of God, believing that when we're tempted, that obedience is better. See, that's the challenge, right? When the temptation of going left or right away from the Word of God is there, we have to choose by faith and believe that there's a better path by staying on the straight and narrow that God has delineated. But then I don't know what the right, I can't properly discern if it's right or left of the God's law if I don't know God's law, right? If I don't know what the straight is, if I'm confused about whether right or left is of God or not, it's because I need to know what this says. So we need to. So when we know what this says, when we trust God by faith, and we believe that obeying the Word of God is more enjoyable than the sins of the season, as it says in Hebrews 11 about Moses choosing the good things as opposed to the bad things of the Egyptians, that's when we understand what walking with God and we enjoy life a lot better. All right, so we're going to work our way backwards now, okay? So now we're going to talk about verses 22 to 27. What else? Why else should we obey the Word of God in order to enjoy life more? Well, the Word of God reveals the character of God. We get to know more about God and find out that God's pretty cool, and he actually likes us, and he wants us to enjoy life. When God spoke his commandments to the people at Mount Sinai, it says all the people could hear him in this loud voice. All of them could hear him. But at that time, he revealed himself to the people in a very clear and powerful way so that they would be awed by his majesty and glory. And they were, right? Verse 22. Right? The commands of the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there in the mountain, from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness. He added nothing more, and he wrote them on the two stone tablets, gave them to me, Moses. When you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leading men of your tribes and elders came to me, and you said, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that one can live even if God speaks with him. See, God wants us to know him. He wants his people to know him, that he is everything to us and is completely for us. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? Okay, and what's the this? Well, verses 28 to 30, Paul just said, God uses everything for the good of bringing you into conformity to Jesus. Okay, so if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life. He is at the right hand of God. And there it is, also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And Paul says, can this? No, verse 37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But we know that in our heads, but we're not convinced of it sometimes. We know what it says, but we're still afraid. See, look now at verse 25. Didn't the people of God just say, wow, God's really cool. We've heard him. He's amazing. And we're in his presence, and we didn't die. But, see that verse 25? But, it's usually a bad word. But now, why should we die? What do you mean, why should we die? See, all of a sudden they lose faith. This great fire is going to consume us, and we're going to die if we hear the voice of the Lord of God any longer. For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the fire as we have and survived? Well, duh, Moses. Okay, it's happened before. It's okay. Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord God tells you. We will listen and obey. It's kind of like, yeah, I know what the word of God says, but, right? They're temporarily in awe of God, but then they're like, I'm not sure this is a good thing. It's like Peter walking on water, right? Remember when Jesus says to Peter in the storm, get out of the boat, walk on the water? Peter goes, okay, this is going great. Oh, stink, right? It's bad around me. And then he starts to sink. It's kind of like, you know what the Word of God says. Believe it. Right? Believe it. And all of a sudden now they're like, we're going to die. Well, you're not dying now. You're in the presence of God now. You're surviving. You know that. But then we get afraid. We get afraid because we don't want to get too close to God. Fear God and draw near to him. Not or draw near to him. We fear God and we draw near to him. Did Israel listen and obey God? Well, not as well as they should have, right? I mean, they're going to misinterpret the knowledge of God's awe and glory here as something to be afraid of. Instead of something to enjoy and understand. I love this passage back in Exodus 20 about this situation. Exodus 20, verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, because this is what Deuteronomy is referring to, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. That's a powerful visual, isn't it? Moses is going toward the thunder and the lightning and the darkness and the cloud, and he's fine with it because it's God. Because God is here. See, God's awesomeness is for our good and our joy. We need to run to him and not be afraid of him. I think C.S. Lewis grasped it really well in his book Chronicles of Narnia, right? When the four Pevensey children go into Narnia, they hear about Aslan the lion, and they ask Mr. Beaver, you know, oh, is he a tame lion? Is he safe? And Mr. Beaver says, who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good, right? But he's good. See, God is good. He's for us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know who he is, what he's capable of doing, so that we fear him and walk in obedience with him. Because we know he's working always for our good to conform us more into the image of Jesus Christ. Now that we know that, now we can understand the commandments. Because God's laws, his word, promotes mutual life enjoyment. See, when God saved the Israelites out of Egypt, he gave them rules by which we'll promote an understanding of life and how to best enjoy it. And he frames this, he roots this, he grounds this, the laws, in their quote-unquote salvation, in the Exodus, right? I am the Lord your God, verse 6, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So God says, I rescued you, I saved you. I'm the one who rescued you. Because in the land in which you lived, you had adopted the worldview, whether you realized or not, you had adopted the worldview that claimed there are many gods. See, God has made us in such a way, God has made mankind in such a way that we actually have a God consciousness. But some people either suppress it or some people look for other gods. For example, you know, man looks around, he looks up, he looks down, and when he sees things he can't control, okay, sun, water, wind, most people surmise that there must be something behind the sun, wind, water, right? So if there's something controlling that, then I need to worship it. And some people say, there's only one God, you and I would say that, who looks after all those things. But some people say, well, at least that's the Egyptian way, right? They had, well, there's a sun god, and then there's a rain god, and then there's a Nile god. And so if I want the sun god to send me sunshine and when I need it, and the rain god to send me rain when I need it to grow my crops, then I need to worship them and give them stuff. But I don't want the Nile River to come at the wrong time, and I don't want locusts to come at the wrong time, so I better send them some stuff so that I can make sure I get what I need. That's how they thought. And so God says, I rescued you from all that. Matter of fact, how did he do it? He said, Nile? Let's change it to red. See what they like about that. See, God brought judgment on all their false theology, right? Their false understanding of the world. And God judged and said, there is no sun god. There is no Nile god. There is no frog god. Why would you have a frog god anyway, right? But, you know, darkness kills cattle, all those things. They were all judgments from the false gods of the Egyptians to prove that there was only one God who oversees and rules everything, and he's the one that provides for your needs. Not Baal, not Asherah, not anybody else that you can create. So all the first five commandments all have to do with don't worship other gods who you think are providing for your needs. They don't. Worship the only true God. And if you worship the only true God, you'll enjoy him by faith, believing that he's the one who provides. We make our own life less enjoyable through disobedience and misplaced trust when we lack faith in God. See, when we don't trust God, okay, to provide for our needs, what happens to us? Well, we get anxious. We worry. We become irritable. Are we enjoying life? Duh. No. We're enjoying life less. And guess what? How about the people around us who are putting up with our miserableness and our grumpiness and our irritableness, right? Are they enjoying life? Not as much as they could. See, if we think, and then what about the Sabbath, right? I'm putting the Sabbath in that category. See, God says rest one day a week. Why don't we do that? Why do we refuse sometimes to rest in that one day a week? And we say, well, you know, I got to get ahead. I got to get that done. I got to work, because if I don't work, I won't provide for our needs. But the irony, of course, is when you work longer and work harder, you're away from the people that you're trying to meet the needs for. And God says, I know that. Trust me. Honor me. Trust me. I'll meet your needs. And when we work all the time, are we enjoying life? No. No. Right? We know that. Okay? That's what the first five commandments are all about. Trusting God, enjoying God, listen to God, and you'll enjoy life more because He'll provide for you. All right? And then the last five commands all have to do with us enjoying life together. How? By not harming one another, right? Don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't covet, all those things, right? Honor your parents, right? Why that? Well, they watch over us, they provide for us. That's how God provides for us. So we honor them by thanking them and doing the same for them when they can't look after themselves anymore. What happens if I steal from you? Do you enjoy life? No. What will I lose out on? Well, all of a sudden I have a guilty conscience. All of a sudden I might get, you know, arrested. All of a sudden, am I going to enjoy life? No. If I steal from you, if I covet something of yours, if you hurt, what about hurting, killing, right? And Jesus pointed out that's all about anger towards one another. See, if we hurt each other desiring to destroy the person, whether it's physically, verbally, or like socially online, okay? Guess, do we enjoy life? Is that fun? What's the answer? No. No. It's not fun at all. But when we love and support and give towards each other, right, we all enjoy life more. When we just live like that, everyone enjoys life more. And when we do that with the unsaved, right, we help meet their needs because they don't understand they need to trust God to meet their needs. They're trying so hard to meet their own needs. We're helping them out and showing that there's a way in which they can find more joy in life through a faith in Jesus. God wants His people to enjoy life by walking with Him in obedience to His words, right? Walk entirely in the way the Lord your God has commanded you, verse 33. Maybe we've veered off a little bit, right? Maybe we've gotten away from the main road of faith in Jesus. How's that going for you? Are you happier? Have you find you are more content in life? Probably not. Are other people enjoying you more because you're not walking with God? Probably not. See, God rescued us from ourselves, trying to save ourselves by sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And by faith now, we seek to allow Jesus to live through us by conforming more each day to the way He thinks and acts. And God's words can be challenging, but they benefit everyone's good when we obey them. So when we make wise decisions in obedience to God, it's going to improve our life. And there's no guarantee how long we're going to live, but obeying God's rules will certainly result in a physically and emotionally happier life, which results in a better quality of life. God is for us. He's not against us. He gave us his word so that we can enjoy life in obedience with him and with each other. So, verse 32, be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Ten Commandments. Thank you for your word this morning. We understand a little better that the commandments aren't don't do this, don't do that to make life less enjoyable. They're actually more like, okay, if you don't do that, you won't hurt people, and that will make life better for them and for you. But Lord, these are only things we can do if we believe by faith that these words, all these words, are for us and that you're for us. You're so for us that you sent your son, Jesus, to die for all the world, for the entire sins of the world. Not everyone acknowledges that. Many do not. We have been allowed. You have shown us through your Spirit what that means. And I pray that we all understand that by faith. We cannot please you. For without faith, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For we must believe that you exist and that you reward those who seek you earnestly. Not necessarily reward us materially, of course, but that we enjoy life better because we're living for your purposes and we're looking to build people up, not tear them down. Father, help us to simply do that, and we'll enjoy life a lot more. Help us to cease striving, Psalm 46, verse 10 says. Stop being anxious about all the things, about how we're trying to get our needs met. Yes, there are practical things that we must do, obviously, but so often we think that our working harder, working longer, will result ultimately in a better, enjoyable life. Meanwhile, we're not enjoying life at the moment because we're trying so hard to meet our own needs without you. So help us, Lord. Help us to, again, be mindful that you are with us, for us, trust you, meet our needs. You'll guide, you'll direct, you'll answer prayer. You'll do all those things that we need, Lord, when we walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.